What I want to do for the rest of the morning, well, up until the tea break, is to look into some of the material from the Bluecliff record. I want to start there and see where it might take us. As I've said, I would read the Bluecliff record when I was on retreat at Kukiloka, late at night. And one night, I read the story, the Kungan, the public case, entitled Mahasattva Fu Expounds the Scripture. Mahasattva Fu expounds the Scripture. And that night, I had strange and disturbing dreams. I had dreams as though I was breaking up, that the world around me, the valley I was in, was breaking up. It was a very, very strange and disturbed night. And I awoke with the phrase, Mahasattva Fu expounds the Scripture, ringing through my consciousness. As I went to the toilet, as I went to wash, as I went to the shrine room, there was just this phrase, Mahasattva Fu expounds the Scripture. Mahasattva Fu expounds the Scripture. Mahasattva Fu expounds the Scripture. And if you think I was, you know, sound a bit nutty, well, you may well be onto something. It just kept turning over in my mind. It was as if it itself, that phrase, Mahasattva Fu expounds the Scripture, was what they call a turning phrase in the Zen tradition, a pivotal phrase. Penetrate this phrase and you get to the way things are. So, let me tell you the story, the Kungan of Mahasattva Fu expounds the Scripture. And this is a story taken from the earliest days of Chan. It comes from sometime in the 6th century. And it concerns not only Mahasattva Fu, but Great Master Qi and the great Emperor Wu of Liang. Now, Emperor Wu was a very pious Buddhist. He'd built monasteries, temples, stupas. He'd supported the monks, was supporting monks. He'd had sutras translated and copied, and he was very interested in the Dharma, of course. He liked to hear Buddhism being taught. He especially liked the more abstruse Buddhist teachings, teachings on the perfection of wisdom, which just went on and on endlessly about shunyata, emptiness, voidness. He loved all that. And one day he asked his teacher, Master Qi, to expound one of the most famous and celebrated sutras, scriptures, on perfect wisdom, the perfection of wisdom that cuts like a diamond, the Diamond Sutra. And Master Qi, I'll just say something a bit about him. He was a man of great accomplishment. He was staying in the capital of Liang, and he was a man of great attainment who would just appear and disappear in different parts of the city to teach Buddhism, to teach the Dharma. And he had such a strong effect on people. It was having an effect on society. People were really taking up Buddhist practice through the teaching of Master Qi, who would come and go, like a sort of ninja, I suppose, a kind of Buddhist ninja. And it was kind of having a subversive effect. And so he was locked up. They managed to catch him, and they locked him up in prison. But every so often he'd just vanish from the jail. They'd go in and he wasn't there because he'd somehow got away into the city to go among the people and to keep teaching them the Dharma. And Emperor Wu thought, you know, better keep him close. And he's a great teacher. He can be my teacher. So he had Master Qi released and appointed him as his teacher. Anyway, so one day he asked Master Qi to expound the great Diamond Sutra, the perfection of wisdom that cuts like a diamond. But Master Qi said no. He said no because, he said, there's a much greater man in the city, just now visiting the city. There's one who can really expound this scripture, really bring you to its ultimate depth and meaning. There's one in this city who's realized the essence of the Diamond Sutra, and he can really communicate that essence. He is the man we should bring to teach. So who was this man? This was none other than Mahasattva Fu. Mahasattva means the great being. It's another word for Bodhisattva, somebody who's gaining enlightenment for the benefit of all beings. So this is Mahasattva-fu, Bodhisattva-fu. And Mahasattva-fu's story is very interesting. He wasn't a monk. He was a layman. He had a wife and two children. He was a small-time farmer, had his own little farm. But in his middle 20s, he retired to the mountains with his family to practice the Dharma. In the day, he would work farming, and at night, all night, he would meditate, read deeply of the scriptures, and penetrate into the Dharma. And he was obviously a man of considerable attainment, because at various times in his life, he sold all his possessions. He just sold everything. And with the proceeds, he gave to the poor and needy, of which there were many, because these were times of famine. He would even hire himself out as a day labourer to earn money to give away, but still do his practice at night time. And he was so saintly, so good, that he attracted many disciples, and they would work with him. So there was more money being generated by their labouring work, and more money to give to the poor and the needy. So he was so saintly, he was regarded as none other than Maitreya, the Bodhisattva of loving kindness and compassion. Sometimes he would go to the capital of Liang, to the city, to teach the Dharma to more people, whilst selling the produce of his labours as well, just to make a bit more money. He cared deeply about the poor and would write letters to the emperor telling him how he should practice and how he should live. In one letter he tells him first of all how he should dwell in the non-dual state, in emptiness. That's the highest form of practice. The next form of practice, the expression that is to govern well. And he said the most basic form of practice, but the most basic form of practice, is that you should protect and nourish living beings. You should overcome cruelty and abolish murder. And you should have all the farmers receive free food 6 times a month. This is what he wrote in a letter to Emperor Wu, which was quite a thing to do in ancient China, to tell an emperor what to do, this peasant farmer. So Mahasattva-fu is a kind of Dharma revolutionary, internally doing the internal revolution and externally bringing about a change in the world around him. The emperor never responded to Mahasattva-fu's letters. But anyway, Mahasattva-fu, this simple labourer, this hidden Chan master, was on one of his visits to the capital city. And Master Qi had found this out, and he told the emperor to invite Mahasattva-fu to come to the court and expound the perfection of wisdom that cuts like a diamond. So we can imagine the scene in the court. There's Emperor Wu in his silk and brocade, seated on his great imperial throne. And maybe there are courtiers and court officials and Buddhist monks all around. It's a beautiful scene. There's Master Qi there in his simple robes. And at a certain point, in comes Mahasattva-fu, dressed in peasant's labouring gear. He's got pyjamas on, a rough shirt. He's got short cropped hair, a beard maybe. He's very simple, very unpretentious. There are no airs and graces, but he has great dignity and purpose. So he's invited to come up to the podium, the lectern, the seat of the Dharma, where he has to expound the great Diamond Sutra for the edification of the emperor and his court. And of course, the emperor is incredibly expectant. This man, his master, Master Qi says, really knows the essence of the Diamond Sutra. He's really going to bring it out. So Mahasattva goes to the podium, and this is his lecture. And then he just walks out of the court. Walks out of the court, walks out of the city. He goes back to the mountains, back to his people, back to his work, back to his meditation. And the emperor is utterly astonished and shocked and disconcerted. And his teacher, Master Chi, said, "Does your majesty understand?" And the emperor said, "I do not understand." And Master Chi said, "The Mahasattva has expounded the scripture thoroughly." Extraordinary teaching. Extraordinary teaching. Don't you feel the chill of this teaching? Don't you shake when you hear this teaching?